Thank you, Jeffrey, and thank you, Dean, for organizing this. So we look on methods for analyzing secondary outcomes in public health case control studies. So joint work with Elizabeth Cifano and Chaim Bar from my department. The data come from David Christianity, and it's part of my funding. So I'll give some introduction about the problem. I'll set a problem as an example where we are going to try and solve from in two different ways. One, using a design-based approach, using inverse probability weighting, and the other is a model-based approach using propensity score. And then I'll go back to the example, do analysis using those two procedures and see if there are differences. So case control studies are very common in public health. We are conducting design experiment is not feasible. Subjects are sampled as cases, and then we usually add controls, and we usually do it based on some primary outcome. So in the example that I'm going to talk, we're doing in a cancer status with a goal to identifying some factors or exposure variables that are associated with this primary outcome. However, we are doing these big studies, collect a lot of data. We don't want to do only the primary analysis. We want to do some additional analysis, and the secondary analysis is what gives us, statisticians, a lot of work. So we want to look on some secondary outcomes and see how they are being affected. So there are many examples of environmental or genetic epidemiology. We study environmental or genetic association of some secondary trait using data collected on case control samples. So in our example, we have a genetic association study for smoking behavior and lung cancer. So the all cases were lung cancer patients. The ongoing study it was on molecular epidemiology of lung cancer. The cases were adults who were diagnosed with lung cancer, and controls were recruited from some family and friends of those patients. We have data on the cancer status, whether they are case on control, demographics, smoking status and habits, and some other full genetic information about them. So the secondary outcomes, so we have 733 cases, cancer patients, and 792 controls. And after adjusting for covariates, the question was, are any SNPs associated with smoking behavior in the general Caucasian population? So I'm talking here only on the Caucasians, because there are blacks and Hispanics over there, but there is difference in those populations. So in this talk, I'm only talking about Caucasians. So in particular, we are looking on one SNP and see how this SNP is associated with the average number of cigarettes per day in the general population, Caucasian population. And this SNP already found to be associated with lung cancer. So we know that there is association between the SNP that we are interested in and lung cancer. And it has been shown that the risk decreases with the increase of number of C alleles in that SNP. So in general, when we are doing analysis of secondary analysis in case control studies, the sample doesn't constitute a random sample from the general population. So on the left, we see the population, and we assume that in general, when doing analysis, we assume a random sample. But what we have right now is a case control, so we are on the right, and that doesn't constitute a random sample. So the population association between the exposure and the SNP can be distorted, and ignoring that case control design can give biased estimates for the population effects. And that's particularly when the exposure, the SNPs, and the secondary outcomes are associated with the disease. So if we look at it in a very simple graph, we have the exposure, X, which is our SNP. We have D, which is the primary outcome, whether a patient has a lung cancer or not. The secondary outcome is what we are interested in, is smoking deep behavior. And we assume there are some additional covariates. And there are some sampling indicators that define whether you are in the case control study. So the question is, does exposure X affect, so is X affect Y in the general population? That's what we want to answer. So there are many ways to analyze using naive approaches for secondary outcomes. We can analyze only the control subjects. We can analyze case and control separately. Use case control status as a predictor. But in general, if Y is associated with D, with the disease status, all those naive analysis would yield invalid and biased results. Since smoking is associated with lung cancer, one must take sampling into consideration. So we know that this association between Y and D is happening. We have indication from the past. So we know that if we do those naive approaches, we'll get biased estimates for our results. So some other approaches for analyzing secondary outcomes. Lin and Zhen proposed some likelihood-based approach. And Eric, tension-tension, extended some general model based on a careful reparametrizations of the conditional model of secondary outcome. But here we are going to look on those two approaches using inverse probability weighting, IPW, that was proposed by Jamie Robbins, and propensity scores matching, PSM, that was proposed by Rosenbaum and Rubin. So in essence, we are looking on solving the same problem, but from very different perspective. In essence, both aims try to compensate for oversampling of one group. So we are oversampling the cases, and we have to compensate for that. The IPW approach, which is a design-based approach, obtain the probability of selecting subjects of a certain cohort from the sampling distribution and adjust it in that way, where the propensity scoring method, which is a model-based, estimate the probability of selecting using some statistical model. So the approaches differ in how the selection probability is computed and also in how they are used in the analysis of the secondary outcome. So I'll start with the inverse probability weighting. We have this assuming a linear model. We can estimate the coefficient beta using by solving this estimating equation. Trent talked to you about those estimating equations, actually the first speaker as well. And this idea, we need that the expected value to be zero in order to get an unbiased estimate. We know that in generally, in a randomly sample, that holds. However, in case control, we have this S over here that doesn't hold in general anymore. And in order for that expectation to be zero, we need to put some weights in order to take this part away. So that's the idea of the inverse probability weighting. We add the weight in order for that expectation to be zero in general. In the propensity score approach, we have to use what we call the strong ignorability assumption, which says that given covariates, the potential outcome why not and why one, which are the potential outcome, whether you get treatment or control, are independent of the treatment. And in essence, the goal of propensity score matching is to take your observed data and using some weights in order to replicate a randomized control trial. That's in essence the idea. So the steps to achieve it, we run a logistic regression on whether you are a case on control. Using that, we find these propensity scores weights. Then we match. We're using some matching in order to match the two groups, to match individual in one group to an individual in the other group. And then the moment that we have that matching, we can assume that now it's equivalent to a randomized control trial, and we can continue with ignoring that setup. So in order to show how it works, we want to go back to our data analysis. So we want to see whether this genetic variant affects smoking. So in this case, demonstrate why it's important to account for unbalanced design. We first fit a logistic regression to model a primary outcome. So if we look on the primary outcome, which was cancer, we see that the number of cigarettes that being smoked is here. It's highly significant, and also the secondary outcome in red is significant. So we know that we look at as if the genetic allele impact cancer, whether you have cancer or not. So the risk of the lung cancer increased with the average of number of cigarettes. The risk also increased with age and for subjects who have a college degree. And the risk of lung cancer decreased for increase in number of C allele in that SNP. So now we want to do our secondary outcome. So, and the main question is there association between the genetic variant and smoking? So first, we have to do it without accounting to the selection bias. We are looking on the linear regression of the number of cigarettes as a response variable. And when we do that, we see that we have a significant impact of that SNP. And it would appear that the same variant that was strongly associated with lung cancer also associated with heavy smoking. So then people can say, well, maybe the smoking behavior is due to this genetic variant and not actually the cancer itself. So in order to account for that, we can we have to account for that selection bias. We can weight using inverse probability weighting. We have to make assumptions about the prevalence of the disease. We take this information from a paper that already published, and then we use those weights for the inverse probability weights. Putting that together now with those weights, we see that now we have our effect is not significant anymore. So the Z decrease, the p-value is around 0.1, and only sex and education are associated with smoking behavior at a 0.05 level. So we see that the selection bias is very important in this case, and if we don't take that into consideration, we would think that the SNP impacts smoking, but when we take that into consideration, that is not the case. similar way, so a person who don't believe in inverse probability weighting but believe in propensity scores can say, okay, how can we do it in from this perspective? So we fit logistic regression for the disease status as response, compute the propensity scores, match similar controls and cases. We assume a strong ignorability. We use match it in R. We can. There are a lot of options over there, which I'm not going to go into that right now. In essence, we match 519 pairs. That means that 273 controls and 214 cases were dropped. So I throw away data, but the data that I end up are very well matched and represent similar to what we would have done a randomized control trial if the randomization would not be on the primary outcome but on the secondary outcome. We can increase the caliper by increasing the samples, but that would increase that meant that the match would not be as good. So now we see a similar table, and again we see that what was significant before is not significant anymore under the 0.05 level. Again, sex and education variable remain significantly associated with smoking. So when we do propensity scores, we have to make sure that our matching makes sense. So these are just a couple of examples of variables before matching on the left side and after matching on the right side. And we can see that, well, in the beginning, the age was not very well calibrated. After matching, we get very nice results. Similarly, here I have all our variables, and we see the mean difference between the two groups before matching, and if you look on the age, we see a big difference between the two groups in age. If we look what happened after matching, we pretty much eliminate all that change. So we are able to reduce the differences between the groups, so then we will be able to compare the groups in a good way. So to finalize, analysis of a secondary outcome in case control studies can be challenging, especially when the cases are characterized by a rare condition. We must take into account the possibility of selection bias. When the experiment is designed with primary outcome in mind, the cases are oversampled with respect to the secondary outcomes. We talked about two possible remedies, the inverse probability weighting and the propensity score matching. Both approach try to mimic a random sampling design with respect to secondary outcome, and the result of the secondary outcome analysis often depends on the user's specified parameters, and it's recommended to perform sensitivity analysis to carefully check those assumptions in the secondary outcome model. Here are some, and thank you so much.